But we're just in Hamburg. And then there was a Ghanaian guy who just walked up to me, you know, after the show. And he said, "Oh man, bro, thanks for singing in Ghana language. Wow, that most people are losing the language and I'm here doing it." And I said, "Yeah, this is what I do. This is the reason, the big reason that we should be able to push the language."
Hello, my name is Abner Sewa, and you were just listening to Eric Owusu, aka King Owusu. Eric is better known for supporting musical heavyweights such as Ebba Taylor and Pat Thomas and the Kwashiburia Band with his energized live drumming performances. But this seasoned percussionist is making a return to his childhood passion as a singer, and he's now fronting his own band, Jimba Groove, with co-founder, composer, and producer Yannick Nolting. Eric talks to us about forming the Berlin-based Afro Soul Band during the height of the pandemic, why he infuses Ghanaian languages into his lyrics, and where you can see Jimba Groove this year.
Guten Tag.
Hey, good morgen.
Guten Morgen, wie geht's dir?
It's mir gut, danke. Mein dear, geht's dir da auch
Ja,
gut?
jawohl. That's all my German. What I wanted to say, first of all, is Bassa Bassa is pure vibes. I love
Definitely.
it. So I wanted you to tell us more about the sounds and the influence of high life and soul, because that's what I'm feeling.
Okay, that's right. You know, my friend Yannick, who is the producer of the music, not the lyrics, of course. He was also in West Africa a lot. He was traveling around. He was in Mali a lot. So he says he have like a Mali influence. So he listened to a lot of stuff from West Africa. And so me, as a Ghana, Nigerian born guy, I also had to like bring my own African influence, you know, Mother Africa, you know, with the sunshine and everything into the music. So the vibe totally from Bassa Bassa. It's just big vibe, so to say, because a influence from Afro soul music and high life music, pretty much West African vibe.
Definitely. That really comes through.
Yeah.
So tell me how you and Yannick got together in the band. How did that all start?
Oh yeah. So I think say about two like 2 years ago, almost something like this. It was like some show in December that I was having in Berlin with a different musician friend of mine also, that we have also like made a couple of stuff. His name is Sabi Bokno. It's Abashe is the name of his band. And so we had this show in Berlin, and then Yannick happens to be there. He came by, and after the show, he came saying, "Oh, what's up, man?" And then we started having a chat and all that. He heard that I live in Hannover. He said he was also born in Hannover. I said, "Yeah, that's where I live." Blah blah blah, and then you know we start connecting. You know, we just had like had a vibe somehow. And he said, "Oh, let's do something, make music and see," because he's also a bass player. He has music already made. Played it to me, and I said, "Oh, this fits in." So I put the lyrics there, and it's like, oh man, that's the one. From there, we took it from there, and then we went to the next level. And then we're lucky to have a record label here in Hannover called Agogo Records. You know, yeah, they are the one who are really doing a lot of promotion to make sure they push more of Jimba Groove.
So which song was that you put the lyrics to? Is it the one of the ones on the album?
All of it. We co-produce it together, and then we show our musicians. You know, so it's always like between two of us anyway. So we working together, like yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking back to when I first met you, which was in 2019 at at Pat Thomas and the Kwashiburia Band when they
Yes,
came to
yes.
Jazz Cafe.
Oh
And
yes.
yeah, and I think about where you are now, you know, like you were the percussionist, amazing drummer, and now you're singing. Do you get me? It's so cool. So, I mean, that transition, it's different because you're now at the forefront and you're developing the lyric. What was that like, the shift?
Okay, most people don't know. So the thing is, I've been frontlining a lot of stuff, you know, like private stuff. It could be some party, it could be whatever, you know, when I was living in Ghana. But in this case, and because I also had other projects which I front, but they are not out yet, like what me and Yannick had, like, but of course, from then and then now, there has been like a lot of improvement also in my musical career. I'm more in front, even more than before now.
Yeah, definitely. What one thing that I love about your sound is, first of all, the rhythm is infectious, but I love how you combine so many of our Ghanaian languages into it. Was that intentional?
Yes, that was intentional. Because for me, I realized in Ghana, you see that most people like sing in Twi or only Ga or stay on one language. For me, I would like to, in my own style, okay, mixing the language for me between Ga and Twi is so fun for my music and for the vibe also. Because when I'm singing something in Ga, for example, it fits to sing all the way in Ga. But then one time you feel like I want to also sing in like Pidgin English.
Mm.
So I always do this infusion so everyone can understand. Whoever is selling fish can understand what I say in Ga. Other people can also, like, you know, the young ones, we like to speak Pidgin English because it's fun. So to relate to it also, that I speak Pidgin so everybody can understand what I sing.
And what's been the reaction from people, I guess, in the West mainly? Are they the ones that have been going to your concerts, isn't it?
Listen, it's been amazing. Of course, I had a couple of Ghanaian people also that come to my show.
Mm.
For example, we were just in Hamburg, and then there was a Ghanaian guy who just walked up to me, you know, after the show, and he said, "Oh man, bro, thanks for singing in Ga language. Wow, that most people are losing the language and all that stuff, but I'm here doing it." And I say, "Yeah, this is what I do. This is the also reason, the big reason that we should be able to push the language, even though the people don't understand, but then the vibe, and of course, whatever the lyrics is, it's all motivational. It's all positive vibes. Whatever the lyrics are, because I always say it with my friend and Yannick. He asks what's the meaning of this, and he loves it. You know, he's also totally into it, and the rest of the band as well. Yeah. So anyway, so that guy was like, "Oh, yo, you singing Ga? Wow," he was so impressed and was so happy. And then another time, also the same thing happened. Another Ghanaian guy who happens to be in the concert also walked up to me and said the same thing. So since the last 4 months, I would say like a lot of people that I encounter, like Ghanaian people coming to my show, they really appreciate the fact that I sing in Ga and I sing in Twi as well, because they realize as Ghanaians and the Westerners, they feel the vibe. And then, you know, I also carry them along because, first of all, it's also about music and communication with the people. So
it does feel like it's a really good time and people playing high life music. It feels like there's this contemporary wave of musicians that are bringing back that sound.
Yeah.
That maybe, yeah. Like, how do you feel about being part of that wave?
Yeah, I feel really great being part of that way, because then it's not the same thing that it used to be. Even though we have all the influence from like a City High Life or Burger High Life, you know. But in our own case, Jimba Groove coming now with this Afro Soul vibe, I think it's got a lot of influence between Afrobeat, High Life, Soul and stuff. So we are also like preaching to make sure that the young ones are getting inspired. So back to your question, I think that in this case, you know, people can also express how they feel in other form, not the usual way. We always like express ourselves, high life, or, you know, if we think about reggae music or dance or whatever they're doing nowadays, it's like the same thing you can hear. But in this case, it's very broad. You know, you can hear jazz influence, you hear funk, you hear soul, you hear Afro, everything is there. And so this can make other people also relate. Because if you just stay on your own traditional music, okay, cool. But then how do you also communicate, or how do you carry other people along with what you are doing? So I think in that case, it's really good.
So possibly we could have a second golden age of high life.
Definitely. It will take a while. It will take a while. But yeah, I really like what the Santrophy boys are doing and stuff. So it's very traditional because they are like a big influence of Kwashibu area and Pat Thomas, you know, band in what they are doing.
I think I saw you. There's a picture of you. I think you went to see Santrophy.
Listen, we had an amazing time. It was so, so, so nice. We met at Fusion Festival because, first of all, they were in Berlin just before Fusion. And it's like 1-2 hours away from like out of Berlin. So they were there. I was communicating with Emmanuel the whole time. But then he didn't know I was going to come. So I finished my show because I played earlier with my band. we played earlier. So as soon as we finished, I dashed there with the rest of my band, like, yo, we showed up there. They were so happy. And then, you know, it was so cool. They had a great night. We really had a great night.
No, it's amazing. And yeah. I'm quite excited because I feel this summer,
yeah,
hopefully we're going to see a lot more bands playing. So I'm interested to know, where will we see you?
We are going to start the second half of our tour, because we've been on tour since a while, like on the road, you know, every now and then. Mm. But hopefully next year, like, we're going to do a massive tour, because now we're just preparing everything. So we're like, you know, coming up and then checking 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 here and there. You know how we say in Ghana, 1-2, 1-2.
Yes,
yes. Yeah.
So will that be more Europe?
Yeah, it will be more Europe now.
What about UK, where some of us are? And then what about Ghana?
So on the 7th of October, we're going to be in London, Hootenanny. On the 8th October, Oslo Hackney, also in London. And on the 9th of October, it's going to be BBC 6 Music live radio session. We're going to be having this. And on the same date, on the 9th October, we're going to be going to Leeds, Brudenell Social Club. That's where we're going to be playing at. And then on the 12th October, Falmouth, the Cornish Bank. That is where we're going to be playing at. And on the 13th October, we're going to be in Cardiff. The Globe is the name of the venue where we're going to be playing at. And on the 14th October, it's going to be in Bristol, Lost Horizon. That's where we're going to be. Lost Horizon. So, and on the 15th, which is the last gig before we go out of UK. So on the 15th October, UK special, TBA.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. What about Ghana? The Ghanaians are asking you.
Yeah, so in Ghana, when we were there, we were there like December. I was just there with Yannick.
So that's 21.
Yeah, we were there during the December period, the Christmas period.
But were you doing performances there?
No, okay. Gimba Groove haven't performed yet in Ghana, okay. Like publicly. We haven't performed yet in Ghana.
Okay. Oh, actually, yeah. This reminds me, Jemba means life. Is that right?
Yes, Jemba. It means life in Ghana.
What language? Oh.
Ghana. Yeah, because we were talking about it, like, okay, what name are we going to give the band? And I said, oh, it has everything to do with life, because it's like a new life after the whole, you know, 2 years and nothing happens. And now it's like life is coming back again. So Jemba, like coming to life. That's what we call it, Jemba. And he said, oh, Jemba, then it's groovy. It's groovy, you know, it sounds groovy. With the whole music and all that. So Yannick also said, okay, we add groove. Okay, so it's a Jemba groove, which quite makes sense.
It really does. It really does. It's powerful. And the album is called Susuma. Am I saying
yes? Susuma. Yeah. Yeah. Susuma. Yeah.
So on the album, do you have a favorite? You can't say all of them.
As a matter of fact, I love all the songs on the album because each song has got their own character and influence, or how they react. You know, but because me listening to them like every time, or playing them every time, I have this feeling that each song has got like a different way that it reacts, you know.
Okay.
Because we have one called Suban. Suban literally means a character.
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful, this song. And I think if you listen to that one, and if you listen to Adesani, Adesani simply means human being. Mm. Also in this case. So I think, okay, that one has got its own character, and then Suban also has got its own vibe. So when you bring them all together, they are so powerful and they're making sense in so many ways.
So lots of positive energy, positive words of affirmation in it.
Yes, yes.
I mean, since we're talking about influence, it would be really good to go back to the beginning. So little Eric, what inspired him to love music?
First of all, I would say it's got everything to do with talent.
Mm.
So when you have this thing in you, and it really pushes you a lot, like you really want to do it. I'm the kind of boy, when I was like 4 and I knew what I wanted to do already.
Which
I knew
that I wanted to perform.
Yeah, which was just to be on the stage and to play drums. And, you know, I didn't even realize that I could sing then.
Mm.
But I was just playing the drum, you know, like how was able to like get the chance to play the drum was in the church. you know, the same story, you know, like a church influence, a lot of gospel music, growing up every day and every Sunday, going to the church with parents and all that, has got a lot of influence. So when you arrive at the church, is when I can get drums to play as a child. So they know already. So as soon as I arrive there, you know, I go straight to the eldest side of everything because I don't go where the children are because they don't consider me to be one of them.
And is this in Ghana or this is in Nigeria?
This was in Nigeria. Then growing up, playing from one place to the other and meeting a lot of people, already like traveling in my age, like, I don't know, nine years old, already was like going to Togo, going to the border, Benin, touring around with like West African groups. Like, you know, little boy, they're going to put me on the table and I'll play the drum, like, you know.
Wow. Which my parents was it?
They were like a dance drama band. You know this cultural group. Have you heard about stuff like that before?
Yeah.
So those kind of cultural groups, you know, putting me in the front, you know, like a child, you know, like a little boy in the front and doing all this amazing drumming.
Yeah.
Really, you know, I'm like selling the group somehow. They only have to talk to my parents and like, okay, no, it's just for the weekend or it's just for 2 days, you know, and then found myself going closer and closer, closer to the other family that I in Ghana. And one day I woke up, I said, no, I'm going back to Ghana. I'm going to go there because I think I want to move to something else, you know.
So was there more opportunity in Ghana to be doing
there people? Yeah. There were more opportunity in Ghana. There were a lot of opportunity also in Nigeria. But then I just like my Ghana influence, like, okay, I just want to go there and get to meet other brothers that are, you know, like that I've heard about even growing up.
Okay, so can we just go back? So does that mean that your dad is not, like, where's the Nigeria bit coming from?
Yeah, they were based there.
Were based there, but both your parents are Ghanaian. They just happen to be based in Nigeria.
Yeah, like half-half, yeah. But they were, because we have a lot of family also there. You know, my aunts, most of my aunts, they live there in Kwashibu there, where I grew up also. You know, I grew up also in Kwashibu.
Yeah, so that's your link with the band as well, the one that plays.
Yeah. Especially with Kwame Ibuwa.
Okay, but you did mention that your parents were worried. Obviously, you were 9 years old and you're touring.
Yeah, but then already these people, they will come home and say, you know, pay homage to my parents and say, look, we're going to take care of your son, la, 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 la. They do all the amamre, all the, you know, traditional stuff, and they make sure, okay, he's going to be fine, you know, and just, you know, the little boy just want, like, do what he loves.
So tell me, what did it feel like but to perform your first time, like, you're small and you got this big crowd listening to you?
It wasn't easy for a start because my parents were like, you know, go against it like a lot of time. But me, I was just always working towards my goal. So because I already had it, so it wasn't strange for me to perform in front of many people because I knew that's what I want to do already because I was doing that in church already. Like leading the whole choir from, like, I don't know, I was like 7 years old, 8 years old. I was leading the whole choir and stuff like this. That was why I said most people doesn't know that I front already since a long time. It wasn't like a first time or today or, you know, we started since this since it's a long time.
So you were singing at seven as well?
Yeah. So we're doing all this stuff. And from then, my parents starting to realize, okay, this one, okay, we think it's like this.
Okay, so what instruments do you play? Because I know you for playing different drums.
Exactly. So I play, if you think about the Western African indigenous drums, first of all. So to start from there, I'll say I play talking drums. You see, so talking drums in Ghana, there's an atom pan. So those are what we call talking drums. So if you think about something they call dondo. If you think about it, so dondo is what you have when you're like from the northern part of Ghana.
Yeah.
There's dondo. They play dondo. They put this drum on their shoulder, you know, so control it with your hand.
Yeah.
It's called dondo. But in Nigeria, they call it also talking drum.
Okay.
So I play that. And then I play djembe. And I play a lot of congas. And then bongos and a lot of shakers and some udu. If you come to the Western world, I play udu.
What's udu?
So udu is like a clay pot, like a clay drum.
Oh.
You know, it's got this deep sound. Like when you like hit it, it sounds like a water drum.
Yeah.
And I play also calabash a lot.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the drum, I mean, it's so integral to our cultures, many Ghanaian and West African cultures. You think of it as being the drum is the talking drum, so it tells people in the villages about important events and stuff like that. I mean, when I listen to the drum, I feel it connects to my soul.
It definitely connects because I mean, for talking drum, it's just as you said, it's what it used to be before radio broadcasts and all this stuff. It was drumming. They used to like call the attention of the people in the village because even then everybody understood. When they played, they say ago, they play something, they play something, they say nananum, there's going to be a meeting or there's going to be a festival in the city. So everybody should get ready, bring your attires, your yam, your coco yam, your kotomre, your everything, you know, because there's going to be a big fest in the city. So everybody knows.
So can you speak using the drum? Can you speak that language?
I could do that. When I play the atumpan, I can say something like Irabra Kofi, renounce mommy. And Ghana munti, Ghana munti, Ghana munti, gre 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 gre, bre 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 bre, you know, stuff like this.
That's really beautiful, that. How do you create such powerful sounds with it? What can you tell us? Obviously not telling us all your secrets, but
That's
do you
the
do, yeah, do you do like finger movements? How does it work?
Exactly. So my secret is that I practice.
Ah,
First of
that's a
all,
good one.
you have to practice, you know. I thought everything, like especially music, I mean even footballers and everything, everybody practice. If not, you are gonna be there and then before you realize some people are ahead of you and you are still sitting and waiting. To be a professional, you have to wake up every day at 5 a.m., you know, shake the hands and make sure everything's alive. And then, you know, start practicing slowly, 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 get rhythm, play along with music, do a lot of breathe movement and all that stuff.
Tell us some of the people that you've performed with. Like we know Pat Thomas, definitely, Uncle Pat.
So quite a lot of people that I've performed with, also Abel Taylor, of course, you know that one
Yes,
too.
of course.
Coming to the Western world, also from Cameroonian, that I also had a chance to perform with Richard Bona. So he took me to Ghana, like a, you know, did a couple of jazz gigs and all that stuff. So that was great. Also, like a few people here. There's a friend of mine, a really, really good friend of mine. Is a guitarist. He's from Shamani Music and all that stuff. He does like a medicine music. He's quite famous also. He lives in
What's his
Colombia
name?
now. His name is Rainer Scheuerbrand. Oh yeah, of course, Pachacuti, Young Vision, Oyun. Yeah, also with African 808, of course.
And who would you love to perform with that you haven't?
That I haven't. Oof, I have to think about that. I really have to think about
Okay.
that.
And this is a bit left field. If you weren't a musician, what would you be instead? What do you think you'd be doing instead?
I think I will be a footballer. I would have been a
Oh.
footballer because then I was so good in football. I was playing a lot of football, like growing up, even within the music and football. I was like going crazy a lot until I realized, okay, I have to concentrate on the music now because that's me. But I think I would have been a footballer if I wasn't a musician.
Okay, brilliant. So, I mean, what can we expect from you, Jemba Groove, that your type of music as well, moving forward?
So moving forward now, we're gonna like have an EP, which we're gonna like add to the album. It's gonna be different. Like during this winter coming up, we are planning to go to studios, just like do an EP and maybe two songs.
And in terms of maybe a follow-up album, do you see it following that same trajectory with the positive vibes, or do you think you'll switch it up?
No, I don't think there's gonna be any switch because that's what we represent. That's why I represent positivity and the vibe. And energy, you know, connecting with the people. That's what I represent.
Okay,
It has to be.
awesome. And is there anything that maybe I haven't touched on that you want to mention?
I mean, also that I have stuff coming up with Kwame Yeboah, and big stuff is gonna be coming out, you know. I was in, but when I was just in Ghana, we had some nice studio session, which he's gonna be like bringing out. So yeah, I think you should watch out for that.
So you're
You
just
know.
all over the place, tentacles
I'm telling
everywhere.
you know.
And I think it's nice because, you know, the passing of Uncle AB Krenzel recently, a lot.
Man, yeah.
A lot so of our sad. Heavyweights, they're passing on. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, it was really heavy because I was just thinking because only a few days ago I heard that news and I was so sad. I was really sad, but also that we give thanks for life, you know. So
was he one of your influences when we think of high life music?
He's got like some motivation, but he wouldn't be like influences. If he goes like a Nigeria, for example. I can have some influences, like if you think late Orlando Julius Ekemode, he died also like not too long ago. It could be like my influence. I could hear myself on some Fela Kuti kind of Afrobeat influence. Also all these big people, like a legend. Also Ibo Taylor from Ghana could be an influence. Pat Thomas is definitely a big influence. Mm. A lot of them.
Okay.
Like this. Yeah.
Yeah, because of the funk. You talked about the funk element, the soul. I feel that is in their music. Yeah. And tell us where we can buy and hear more about you. So your website, your social media.
Yeah. So if you check on our website, www.jimbamusic.com, you can get a lot of info there. And then you can also go on Instagram and check our page, Jimba Groove. You can also check on Amazon and you can check Jimba Music. You can buy the records. You can check iTunes. You can check Spotify. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. And your social media is?
Yeah, Eric Owusu Official.
Yeah.
And then for the band, it's Jimba Groove. And on Facebook also, I'm also there, Eric Owusu on Facebook, so you can check everywhere.
King Owusu, Midasu. Yeah,
and that's it.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Jimba Groove's Bassa Bassa track is featured with permission in this episode. The track comes from the Susuma album from Agogo Records. To listen to more content like this, visit our monthly Akadi Magazine Connecting Communities podcast on Apple, Spotify, Buzzsprout, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow our news on akadimagazine.com and akadimagazine.co.uk. Until next time.